بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There was one great alim, Mulana Rahim Ilahi, Rahmatullah Ali. Perhaps he was the murid of Mulana Muhammad Yaqub Sabr Rahmatullah Ali. In those days, the mashayikh used to really work on the muridin, correct them and make them so sound and strong that if they had gone in any direction, they had gone to any place, then one person would be sufficient for that area. So they would be made, and they would be made very strong, very, very strong in every respect. It wasn't just a formal relationship like how we have. Nowadays it's just a little of zikr, tasbihat, and now and then we just come and visit and we carry on. In that zamana it was that you have surrendered yourself, and thereafter whatever adjustments the Shaykh wants to make, he makes adjustments. In your personal life, in your mundane life, in your ibadat, in your domestic life, in everything, they would give themselves up. So this murid that would come out would then be an embodiment of hidayat wherever he goes. He's like hidayat through and through. In this day and age, this is possible. It's not something that is remote. It is possible in this age as well. The idea is that to what extent do we give ourselves up? That same Allah Ta'ala was in that zamana is today. The power that he had then exist in this day as well. There's no change. There's absolutely no change. If there is a change, there may be a change in us. Our attitudes have changed. Our ways have changed. Our understanding and reasoning has changed. Allah Ta'ala is still the same. So this person has to be made. He has to be made, and there's a lot of struggle in making the person. He gives himself up, and he gives himself up like he needs to give himself up, then he can be made. There's two things. One is, he himself has got some type of potential, and then the Shaykh also works on him. Sometimes it's a person that is finished now. He doesn't have any potential whatsoever. Like a person that is 100 years of age and is paralyzed. You can work on him, but he can't become an athlete. It's not that the trainer will not work on him or he will fail in working on him. He'll try his best, but he wants to get him taking part in the athletics. He won't be able to do it. Why? So you need to have that potential, and then the Shaykh also will work. So there's a two-sided effort. When there's a two-sided effort, now you find some direction. So in this age, you don't find this thing. Very seldom you'll find one, two persons, and they have that type of a mindset. They come with that intention, that determination. You come with that determination, then Allah Ta'ala will bless you. But you come with a half-hearted determination and what to do, a little bit zikr, tasbihat, whatever, I will do and continue. So you will get what you came for. But then what is aimed in this whole exercise, then you will not get that. So in that age it was like this. They would work. One person thought of his Shaykh, that his Shaykh doesn't have the ability to correct him and bring him up. So the Shaykh told him, what you do? See, there's a masjid here. You perform a namaz, Juma masjid. So you take a whole bucket of water and you take a syringe all the people that are passing here, just go and squeeze it and squirt it on them. So he did. As he's squirting the water on the people, every person that he's squirting the water is saying, La ilaha illallah. Every Hindu, non-Muslim, everybody is saying, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. Everybody is converting. The Shaykh told him, see, all these people have turned and they became Muslims. They have come on the cause. But for you, you will have to climb up this ladder. You'll have to go the difficult way and then you will come up somewhere. You don't want to get it so easy. You'll have to go through this ladder, you have to go through that difficulty and then you will come up. Ab to kuch karte nahi aur chahte sab kuch. Not doing anything and wishing for everything. That's not fair. In a madrasa or in any institute, any business, right, in proportion to what mehnat you make, then you get some results. The person not making the type of mehnat and he wants some type of a miracle to come and comes out first in the class, does it happen? Doesn't happen. There also some type of a mehnat, some type of an effort is required. He works and then by the grace of Allah Ta'ala at the end, he sees some results. So, like you will see some results and you will see some goodness. Here also you will see the results and you see that goodness. But the idea is to work, to keep committed, to be, keep consistent. Today it was coming to my mind, the main thing in this ethic office, just keep focused. Don't let your focus be moved away, even for 1 second. Whether you are in your cubicle, whether you are here, and just keep the focus. And the easy way to keep the focus is just look down. Then don't let your mind or your eyes look around. What's happening here? Who's building? Who's coming? Who's going? Whoever is making the intizam, they will do that. They work, they will do their work. But as far as we are concerned, we just keep focused. No talking, no looking around, nothing. Because once the eyes begin to wander, then the mind wanders. The whole wandering process starts from the eye. When the eye wanders, then the mind also begins to wander. But the eye is focused, then the whole body also remains focused. In Darul Uloom Deoband, there was one Habib Rahman Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. He used to be so focused that he won't look at anybody as well. And he would say that if I know the person, then I will know him from his voice. And if I don't know the person, then what's the need to know him? No, he is a principal of the madrasa, running such a big institute, but he can manage. So this focus, see, to build up that focus. And why to build up that focus? To the extent that you have got that focus, then you will have أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. You will have أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. But if your mind is all over the place, wandering around, then how are you going to get this? How are you going to get this? أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ. How are you going to get it? So this is the effort that is worked towards. We are working towards this effort here. So for that, like I say quite often, that remain silent and remain quiet, focused. Hazrat Jihan's words were sukut or sukoon. Sukut we all understand, sukut is silent. And sukoon we will translate as calm. One is your body is calm, you're not moving unnecessarily. Then your eyes are also calm, that you're not allowing your eyes the free movement. You're not wandering all around. Then your heart is also calm, that you're not planning and projecting for any time, be it now or be it for after etikaf, that you're projecting now, or after etikaf I'll do this. Iftar time I'll be eating this, seri time I'll need to have this. So your mind is not wandering in anything. So these are the two things Hazrat used to say, that sukut or sukoon. One is remain silent and the number two is sukoon. So the shaykh that wants to concentrate on you and work on you, then he's got all the time and all the ability to work on you. And the example for it came to my mind was this, that how you're sitting on the chair of a dentist and he's working on your teeth. So how you remain calm. Why you remain calm? That he can do the work that he needs to do. You don't want to complicate the whole thing. and you don't want it to be prolonged. So when you don't want it to be prolonged, you don't want to be complicating the whole thing, so you remain absolutely still the way that he wants you to remain still. So very easily he gets you done, right? And otherwise he has to give you anesthetics, put you off, so that you totally calm, right? Both ways, either he gives you anesthetics or you remain absolutely calm, you've got no other thing in your mind. Your mind is absolutely calm. So here, you will be calm if your eyes are not wandering around and your heart is not moving around all over the show. It's just one place. So the thought that we will engage our minds in, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى, that they call it مُرَاقَبَةَ رُؤْيَةً. It's also a type of muraqaba. Muraqaba ru'yat. So, how you will start it off? You can start it off after every namaz or before every namaz or in your cubicle. Start it for small moments, small short durations, short intervals. For example, for about 5-6 minutes at the beginning, you sit in your cubicle or you're waiting for namaz. And if you want to close your eyes, you can close your eyes. If you want to keep your eyes open, but you are concentrating on the verse وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ or أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى, whichever ayat you feel more comfortable with. Both ayats, both have got their khasiyat, but then you concentrate. As you will concentrate on this, you will find that the concentration will be decreasing. Then you refresh the concentration again. Then gradually you increase it up. From 5 minutes to 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, and you increase it. So your whole exercise in this 15 days you've got left now, let it be like this. Now don't worry now what food is going to come, who's going to bring the food, and what I need to do after i'tikaf, and what I need to do now, and if this person come, what discussion I need to have with him. Don't let your mind go in anything else. You've given your mind for all the rest of the 300 days in you've given it for everything else. Now these days, just leave it for one thing. جَعَلَ الْهُمُومَ هَمَّا وَاحِدًا هَمَّ آخِرَتِهِ. He made his concern, just one concern, just Allah Pak, nothing else. So there are 101 things that you can attend to. For all those things, just left it, just focused on one thing. And then 15 days is too less. 15 days, when you talk about it, is too less. To bring about this concentration, sometimes you need a year, you need 2 years to bring that concentration. But if in this 15 days also we can allow our minds to wonder, what did we take from here? To the extent, Hazrat Ibn Rahmatullah used to say that when you gave that time, then don't even think, all right, I came only for 15 days. And then you begin to count the days, today 15 days, tomorrow is 14, then 13. Don't even think like that. Don't put a target, you know, I'm just staying here. I'm unconditional, unlimited, I'm just staying here. If that question ever comes to your mind, unlimited, then unlimited and unconditional, just staying here. So your mind is not fixed on anything. It's just calm, totally calm. Otherwise, your mind is anticipating, all right, 13 days, now I'll go out, then 12 days, this now I'll go out, then 1 week, then this now I'll go out, and then there's 3 Jummas left and finish after that. See? So your mind will keep working in that direction, you will lose that calmness. So the idea is sukut and sukoon, absolute quiet, calm. So Allah Ta'ala wants to put something in your mind, then you are waiting for it. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ نَفَحَاتْ فِي يَوْمِكُمْ وَنَهَارِكُمْ. In these moments Allah Ta'ala has got special favors that are directed. So when those favors are coming, then Allah Pak is looking for any recipient. And if there is a recipient, then He gives it. And if the person is not in the position of receiving, Allah Pak is giving, and you're not in the position of receiving. Right? In other words, as though He's giving, right? He's giving you the blessings, and your bowl is turned around. He's not on the right end. What's going to happen? The thing is going to come, but it will flow over, because your bowl is turned around. Or your bowl is dirty, is contaminated, polluted. So it can come. But then with the pollution, everything is going to get spoiled. So you can't allow your heart to be polluted in any wrong, in any type of ill feeling and malice, hasad, etc., or the wrong feelings, and nor can you allow your mind to be wandering around. It's wandering around as though it's turned over, and if it has got any other filth, then it's going to be contaminated. So you can't get in this both situations, whether you are contaminated and whether you are turned around the opposite direction, both ways you're going to lose. So forget all these things here. Just think to yourself, whatever comes from Allah Ta'ala. It comes from Allah Ta'ala. لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا مؤتي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. So when it comes from Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is the giver. Then I don't have to worry why this person is like this and why this person is getting this and how did he excel and why didn't I get this type of position. Don't worry about it. Don't put your mind all that. Just think to yourself, what do I need to do? Not what he must do, and why is he doing that, but what am I supposed to be doing? Like you are in an ICU ward, right? So at that time, what you are worried about, that I need to get the treatment. You're not worried about this person getting the treatment, that person has got a toothache, he needs to have his glasses changed. You're not worried about that. You're worried about, I am here, and let's hope my treatment goes well, I am treated well, the doctor sees me correctly. So you are most attentive towards yourself. You're not worried about what's going on there. So this is what is required in this in these few days. That you just pay attention to what you have to do. Complete, absolute focus. Absolute focus. The more you will focus, the more you will have your concentration right. You'll find this thing will just take on. And sometimes it happens that when you are calm and you are collected, and the seed is just instilled, that light and that noor of love of Allah Ta'ala and Iman is just instilled, see, because you are collected, you are calm, you are composed. So you gave yourself the chance for the seed to be planted. When that seed is going to be planted, then you'll find now in time it will grow up, inshallah. But what you need to do is give yourself. You're collected, you're calm, composed. And I explained to you what you mean by calmness. Don't let your mind wander in anything. Both ways you can lose out. If your mind is wondering anything wrong, is wondering, or your mind is wrong. Either your mind is wrong, or your mind is wandering in many other activities, many other duties. So both ways you lose out. So just let it be collected this year. So you allow it to be just absorbed in this verse, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. In other words, doesn't he know that Allah is watching? Don't you know that Allah is watching? Just let it be that. And just increase that. You don't have to recite it. If you want to read it, you can read it occasionally. But more than reading it, your mind needs to read it. Your heart needs to be registering it all the time. And then gradually you just go and increase it. If you're lying down also, then with the same frame of mind, Allah Pak is watching. Or وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala is with you, wherever you be, but Allah Pak is with you. So that thought is just increasing all the time, escalating all the time. So whether it is meals time, whether it is namaz time, whether it is kitab reading, whether it's whatever, but your mind isn't turned away from this. You are still focused. In the same thing, your mind is still focused. So you gave yourself a chance for this thing to grow in you. After all, when we do all these things here, then don't do it. See, there's another problem now. That we want to experience something supernatural, therefore we're doing it. So then this is wrong here. Or we want to become something, therefore we're doing it. No, we're not doing it for anything. We don't want to experience something that is supernatural, some dream, whatever else, nothing else. Then your mind will ask you, then why are you doing this? Why are you training yourself for that? So you would say, for two reasons. One is that it's a command of Allah Ta'ala, أَنْتَ عَبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. That you worship Allah Ta'ala, as though you see him, right? So because it's a command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, therefore you are training yourself. It's his command, so you are training yourself. Like the command of jihad, أَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ, right? There is the command of jihad. And what it says is that prepare for them whatever you can. مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ. Whatever power, whatever you can arrange, whatever strength and might you can arrange, you must arrange. Even if it be steeds of war or weaponry, whatever you can prepare for yourself, you prepare. Now, in the process, then you are trying to work out a rocket launcher, right? So you're trying to improve on it, improve on it, and improve on it. So you are conforming with the verse of the Quran, أَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Although the hadith didn't speak about a rocket launcher. Didn't speak any about a rocket launcher, but when it gave a general command that prepare, whatever might you can prepare, you prepare. So when you prepared that might, then you are in conformity with this verse. أَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. So exactly the same, by the same token, when أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهِ, you worship Him as though you can see Him. So you're preparing your mind. And whatever it takes you to prepare your mind to bring it up to that level, you will do that. So here, this is that concentration that is required. But then you don't allow your mind to be wandering around, your eyes to be wandering around, going everywhere. Just focus on one thing. It's what I've come to learn this. And I've come to learn this, then let me be there. So this is the one reason. Then your mind will ask, but then why? You say to yourself that Iman has got three dimensions. One is the action, one is the belief, and one is the color and the flavor and the texture. So this last thing, what we're talking about, is the color, the texture and the flavor. If you got the mint, right, but you don't have the color, you don't have the texture, you don't have the flavor, you won't want to eat it. Don't eat it. Because you don't have the texture, you don't have the flavor, you don't have it. So this will give the flavor actually. أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. The more you got this ingredient, the greater the flavor. Right? And if that flavor is not there, you want to put the morsel into your mouth. You don't want to put the morsel into your mouth. You want to put the morsel into your mouth as long as it's got the flavor. So this brings about the flavor in your iman. In your deen, this brings about the flavor. To the extent you have got this, then it is flavored. Then you're enjoying it and you want to do it all the time. Anything of deen and you want to do it. Why? It's got the flavor, it's got the taste. Because you got the very nucleus you have got. You've got the very spice. So when the spice is there, everything's going to be tasty, everything's going to be enjoyable. You just want to do it because you've got the taste. So that is the first reason you will do it. The second reason you will do it for is you will think to yourself that Allah Ta'ala has done so much for you, and we owe it to Allah Ta'ala to get our ibadat right. If you're doing it for some supernatural thing and for some experience, that means you're doing it for yourself. For some feeling, you know, some my feeling must come in your heart, to feel peaceful, all that. So you're doing it for Allah Ta'ala or you're doing it for yourself. So He's done so much for you. Now what are you doing for Him? So you're not doing it for any peaceful feeling, any mental state, any dream, anything, not for anything. Why? Because He's done so much. So you think to yourself, what can I do to appreciate this? How should I show the gratitude? How should I show the thanks? How should I show the appreciation? He's done so much for me. After all, we are human beings, right? Right? And I ask anybody here, is there anybody that can say that he does more for his mother, more for his wife than what he does for his mother? Can anybody say safely that he does more for his mother than for his wife? Everybody does more for his wife, right? Everybody does more. It's wrong. It's supposed to be balancing it equally, right? But the general take is what? You do more for your wife than what you do for your mother. Why? Why do you do more for your wife? You got a mother and you got a wife, but you don't keep that balance. There you do everything for that wife. Mother is, you know, I've got some obligations towards her as well, and I'll fulfill her obligations. But do you say that about your wife? I've got some obligations. So, no, I just have to be with her. There, that's a different thing. Right? That's a different department altogether. But then why are you so thick and why you want to be doing that for your wife? For the few favors that she's done for you, then you want to be doing everything for her, isn't it? Is there anything else? A little bit of satisfaction she gave you, right? She made you feel calm and easy. She made you feel relaxed and whatever else. So you want to do so much for her. To the extent that you're going for Umrah, not without her. And she will say how you're going for Umrah and how many days. Going for holidays, and she will tell you where you're going to, right? And your salary package, she will tell you, all right, this is what you do. You give this one here so much, here so much. And see, I will control your finances. So your movement, your finances, everything is controlled. Why it's controlled? For the little bit of ihsan that she's done for you, and you've given so much. So what I'm saying is that this is a human trait. So why don't you take advantage of it? You apply your mind now, then how you have been doing for your wife, now can't you do for Allah Ta'ala? Everything He commands. When you didn't give your mind to Allah Ta'ala, then you gave it to your wife. That she must rule your life, she must maneuver you, she must manipulate, she must do everything in your life. Right? Because you didn't give it to Allah Ta'ala, and it went to your wife. So the wife begins to chalk out and design your whole itinerary. Right? And if you gave it to Allah Ta'ala, then He's designing the itinerary. Right? So you're doing it as a token of appreciation. Deep down within your heart, this is how you should be feeling. Allah Pak has done everything. There isn't a thing that Allah Pak hasn't done for me. Can you think of anything that Allah Pak hasn't done? Even that satisfaction, the ease, the happiness, even the very sleep that you get, the very sleep that you get, it's from Allah Ta'ala. Imagine you, just one day, 124 hours, you don't get sleep, how you'll feel? You feel miserable. All day and night you feel miserable. So who's giving you that sleep? And after that sleep, how nice you feel, fresh and bubbly, bubbly, how do you feel? So nice you feel, right? Now you're constipated, you can't think of anything, you don't want to do anything. And then Allah Ta'ala made an exit for the dirt that was collected, He made an exit. How relief don't you feel? How relief don't you feel? You can't concentrate on anything, not on your wife, not your children, not the food, not on your business, nothing you can think on because you're constipated. So the relief He gives, the peace He gives, that what was the cornerstone of your life, the very essence of your life, He gave it. He's given all this, that relief, that comfort, that satisfaction, He gave it. I'm just showing you two things. Look at the third thing, smell and taste, right? Yeah, some of my friends, I don't know up till now, but I know for many years, they had no smell, no taste. Now imagine you have no smell, no taste. They're putting biryani before you, no smell, no taste. This bride, it's going on, no smell. Everybody's so excited with the taste, the aroma flying around here, there. And you're not getting any smell, and nor are you getting any taste. No taste, absolutely no taste in what you're doing. You're just going through the motions because of the company. Now, the satisfaction He gives, the relief He gives, the rest He gives, the smell and the taste He gives it. Right? He's giving you so much, what you didn't even ask for. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَلْتُ. Whatever you asked for, whatever you wanted, Allah, I gave it to you. Whatever you wanted, I gave it to you, Allah is saying. Some things that you didn't even know, I gave it. Allah made available for you. So when He made all these things available for you, you must cry. Allah, you've done so much for me, so much for me. Now teach me how to show appreciation to you. Not that you're asking, making more demands. Allah, now make me something supernatural, some khab, some other world. I must see something and all that. No, forget all those things, bye. Forget all those things. Just learn to be a simple, appreciative banda. أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Let that be the theme of your whole i'tikaf, your whole today. أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Can't I be a thankful servant? Can't I be a thankful servant? Do we go by the teaching of Nabi Salsam? Or do we go by what our minds tell us? Our mind tells us that, no, you must see this, we have muraqabah, and being able to see what's going on, and whatever else. And what is what the hadith is saying, what Nabi Salsam is saying, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Can't we just be a simple, thankful servant? Can't we do that? So, we're doing this. Why are we doing it? Just to learn to appreciate. To learn to be thankful. To learn to be grateful. To learn gratitude. That's why we're doing all this whole exercise. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. So this is like a primary lesson. Simple primary lesson. Many a times, Mashai, don't talk about higher level talks. Hazrat Yahya used to say that many times I want to speak on higher levels, but I don't speak about it. Because it's like me talking to you about a matric level and university level when the crash is not done right. The crash is not done right, the ABC is not done right, and you're talking about a higher level mathematics, university level. Is it going to go through? Is it going to sink in your mind? It's not going to sink in your mind. So get the foundations right. What Hazrat is telling exactly, inshallah, is that get your foundations right. If the foundations is right, then your mind will take you in these things here. Your foundations are right. So you don't have the foundation. Ask anybody, okay, that do you have the theme of the mind? That, you know, Allah Pak has done so much and so much, and I must be grateful. Did we sit with that frame of mind? We didn't sit with that frame of mind. Everybody's got his own thing. Everybody's got his own mindset. But the mindset of Abdan Shakura, that must be a slave. Two things. See, this one sentence, we're saying two things. Abdan must be a slave and I must be thankful. So let's learn to be slaves. And let's learn to be thankful. Let's learn to be slaves and let's learn to be thankful. This is the whole exercise all about. فَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Whatever it takes for me to become a slave, whatever it takes for me to be showing thankful, thanks and gratitude, let me do it. Let me learn that now. I have enjoyed enough, so much. I'm already over 30, over 40, over 50, over 60. I'm already enjoyed so much. And then I didn't show that gratitude. I didn't show servitude to Allah Ta'ala. I didn't learn abdiyat yet. Then what have I learned? Then you shout yourself. See, it's good to shout yourself. See, the Quran Sharif, it speaks in praise of the person who shouts himself. لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. That person that reproaches himself and he shouts himself, are you doing this, you stupid? Why you can't think right? You're becoming so fat like a donkey, an elephant, you become so fat, so much you're eating there. And you didn't have that mouth to be thankful to Allah Ta'ala. You didn't have that heart to be showing servitude to Allah Ta'ala. You didn't have that. You became so fat. Then what? What was his body for? To become fat like an elephant. So you shout yourself. You don't shout anybody else. I'm, this words that I'm giving. You don't shout others, but you shout yourself. You become fat like an elephant. Eating, just eating that. All day and night. Wherever you see something and you want to eat. So you shout yourself. Then you shout yourself and say, hey, bye. No, man. I'm not doing it right. Have I come on to the levels of afala akunu abdan shukura? Slavery and thanks. Slavery and thanks. Nabi Sam said, afala akun, can't I be a slave? Can't I be a thankful slave? So just to learn to be a slave, learn to be thankful and grateful. So when you do that, then you begin to come to realize. You see, without thinking, without meditating, without thinking, you don't come to reality. You only come to reality, you only come to your understanding when you think, when you reflect, you understand, put your mind down and you start thinking carefully. Then you come to realization. One great Tabi'i says, when a person thinks, when he thinks and he reflects, then Allah Ta'ala brings him to knowledge. He brings him to knowledge. Why? He thought. He understood, he realized. If without thinking, can you come to right conclusions? You can't. You're doing some mathematics, right? And you didn't put your mind to it. Can you come to right conclusions? No, you have to put your mind to it properly, carefully, then you come to right conclusions. So in your life also, it's a whole puzzle of mathematics. Now, you have to put your mind, analyze the whole thing correctly for you to come and arrive to right conclusions, right? So when you think, you'll put your mind, then you'll get knowledge. And when you get knowledge, then knowledge will bring you to amal. What? Because you can see it. That before it was abstract, now it's like vivid, it's clear. Before it was abstract. Right? When you put your mind, like for example, you're doing carrying out an experiment, right? That if you put this and this and this three things together, this thing will come into a bomb, it will explode. You've already seen it, right? You thought about it carefully. Now will you put it together near you? You won't put it together near you. Because you know, you're so clear about it. You're so clear about it that you put these three, four ingredients together, it'll be an explosion. So I'm not trying it out. Because it'll mean death for me and the people around. So I will not experiment that. So when you put your mind, then you will bring about an explosion in your mind. When you put those facts together, then there'll be an explosion in your mind. No, what must I do now? See, so you came to knowledge. The knowledge was like that explosion. So that when that knowledge comes, it's vivid, it's clear, it's like that explosion in your mind. Then it will apply itself. There will be application. Because there was knowledge, knowledge brought you to application. And application brings you to reality now. Now you see things very, very clearly, like as though you're seeing Jannat and Jahannam with your eyes. لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ. Before it was just a fact that you heard now, لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ Now you're seeing it like Jannat and Jahannam, you're seeing it real. But how it starts off, this focus, you see, it starts off like this. It starts off in this way. Now you're seeing it like it's, you're seeing, you know, you're seeing Jannat and Jahannam. If you are seeing towards some haram, looking towards haram, then you're looking as though the swords and the spears of fire are shooting into your eyes. It's so vivid, it's so clear, as though a fiery spear is shooting into your eye. So it's, the picture became so clear, the Jahannam became so clear, the azab that has been warned about became so clear. You're so clear about it. If you are making ghibah, then it's become so clear, as though, you know, the slitting of the jaws, you can see that if I'm doing this, my jaws are being slit. You're eating some haram, and it's so clear and so vivid in your mind, as though you're filling fire into your belly, a whole burning charcoal, and you're putting into your belly. You can feel it. Like so it becomes, the picture becomes so clear. So then for you to do the wrong, it becomes like a virtual impossibility. Like a virtual impossibility. So this is that step, the beginning step. See, now what we want to do is, you want to get to university, first step. One step you took, and then you want to get to university. But you're still scratching the floor, finding your feet still. Come gracefully. أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا Just look at this one hadith, you know. I think to myself, that if you only, this one statement of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا This whole etikaf, if we just think about this repeatedly, I think it will make our etikaf. It will make our life, not only etikaf, but it will make our life. أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا Then cry. Can't I be just a thankful slave to Allah Ta'ala? Can't I be? You ask yourself and you shout yourself. So when you shout yourself, then you will begin to feel embarrassed. Hey, what are you doing? You're spoiling things. You can't remain a stupid all your life. So when you shout yourself, then you come to realities. But you don't shout yourself now. In every situation, you're looking for self-sympathy. In the Daily News, one person caught one article out, and he showed what is the problem with South Africans. He says they're always crying for self-pity. For self-pity. No, this person did this, that person, he did this, and this person here did this wrong to me, and that person shouldn't have done that to me, and why this person be like this towards me. So you're always crying for pity, sympathy. In any situation, you look now, be constructive, be bold, be positive. What can I do to come out of this? There's a situation at hand now. Now, if I'm going to cry for pity, or this person is doing this, that person is doing that, this person is doing this, will I make any stride? Will I make any progress? I need to start off. If one thing didn't work out, let me start something else till the end of the day. I'm still eating, drinking, everything is carrying on. Then Allah Pak has given me energy. Let me start it off. Start off something else. This thing didn't work out, second. I'll work on that. And that thing didn't work out, the third thing I'll start off. But let me move on. But no, I'm going to cry for pity. Now, that person did this, and this person here, he didn't play the game with me, and therefore I'm going backwards because he didn't play the game. He didn't play the game, what stopped you from playing the game? He didn't play the game, but what stopped you from playing the game? You continued the game, let him stop, he stopped wherever he needed to stop. That was his tawfiq, he just stopped at that point. You continue with the game. So he says that this is the problem with South Africa, that you're crying for your, how he titled it, is a nation of crybabies. What? It's a nation of crybabies. So, for everything you want to cry. Everything you want to cry. Yeah, you cry to Allah Ta'ala, why? Okay, I'm a real baby, that I didn't use my brains up to now. Allah Ta'ala, you give me that understanding that I use my brains. You cry, but you cry to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, I didn't use my brains up to now. You've given me so much of brains, but I didn't use my brains up to now. So, when you think like that, and you're thinking constructive, you're thinking positive. And Allah Ta'ala likes this. Azaim, ulul azaim. Allah Pak likes those people. People of determination. People of resolve. People of determination. I mean, azmil umur. Allah Pak likes that. People of determination. They're using their determination and their resolve for the right ends. So Allah Pak likes it. It's the right end. He's trying to bring tawazu in him. He's bringing humility in him. He's bringing modesty. His eyes are all messed up and he's correcting. So he's determined. With the determination and with the resolve, he's correcting his eyes. Otherwise, every now and then, I misuse my eyes. I misuse my eyes. Where's the determination? Is there any determination in that? Is there any resolve in that? No, again I fought with him. Again I argued with that person. Is there any determination? There's no determination. Doing it all the time, stumbling. What's the need to come and report it to me? Determination requires that you did it once, don't ever do it again. Don't ever do it again. And the determination comes with a little bit of pain, with a little bit of difficulty. Hazrat Abu Talha, you hear of his incident, right? He's got a beautiful bagh, beautiful orchard he's got. Everybody likes the water of that orchard. Nice garden, beautiful, shady, cool, calm. In Arabia, I look at Arabia and how cold, how warm it is there, right? How strong the heat is. And then in that someone has got a bagh, that time when there's no air cons, right? So how nice and how calm and how cool don't you feel there? And now he's engaged in namaz, nothing worldly, he's engaged in namaz. And he just listens to some fluttering of some birds. And the fluttering of that bird just catches his attention. For a moment, he said, now it's not worthwhile me keeping this bark, this orchard any longer, give it in the name of Allah Ta'ala. Because it turned my attention away. So they had valued things correctly. Now, when they valued things correctly, then they had the right type of determination, the right type of resolve. Now they won't go back to it. You won't go back to it. We don't have that resolve. Do we have that resolve? For one small misdemeanor, and can we give out 1 rand also? You won't even think of giving 1 rand. You know, at least I was in namaz. What do you think? So that is that nation of crybabies. We're looking for sympathy, we're looking for support, we're looking for someone to give us a pat on the back. We're looking for all these type of things. But we're not looking constructive, we're not looking positive. What should I be doing? One person from Saharanpur, perhaps, ordinary villager doing some business, got some children, all that. And he used to be going out in Jamaat quite regularly, 4 months every year, whatever else. And his children all big, all married, everything, all finished. And then he lost his wife. When he lost his wife, so he wrote a letter to Haji. See, before I had a wife, and I had obligations towards my wife. My children are grown up, they are well off, they can carry on their lives. I don't have a wife, I don't have any obligations. So now, at least 9 months I'm going to give out in Jamaat. Old year, I don't have any other obligations. So when I don't have an obligation, I can't sit back, oh, main kya karu, meri buddhi mar gayi. Old lady is gone, now what does I do? So that's a nation of crybabies. That's a nation of crybabies. This man is positive, he's a villager, but Allah gave him that sight. Hey, I need to be positive now. She's gone already, so I'll go just now. So let me do something. And then he worked, 8, 9, 10 months every year he's going. In that Jamaat, he passed away also. So that's called determination, resolved, ulul azm. And Allah likes this, ulul azm. So in any situation, how can I make it work? That person is not playing the game, like I said, but does it stop me from playing the game? He's not playing. Now the match can continue. We have to win this match. Whatever happens, whatever, we have to win this match. I can't say, hey, he's not playing the game now. What can I do? And how can I do it? By one man. One man can make a difference. One man, single person also can make a difference. But just take the courage, move on, do what you can. In any situation, in your home, you can do also. Husband or the wife is not playing the part. You do your part. If the wife is not playing her part, don't fight with her. But you can play your part. Now, whatever you need to do in the home, you do it. What you need to do in the home, do 5 things. Do talim. Because talim is now motivating. It's going to drive you forward. So the fazail kitabs, and you space it out, whatever you needed to do, and it's going to motivate you. If the wife or someone is not cooperating, then you do it with other children, whoever is around you doing it with them. Do it yourself, do it loudly. But do it, start it off. Say, no, they're not cooperating, they're not sitting. When they're not sitting, then you will not sit as well. If you want to have that crybaby attitude, what will happen? They're not doing it, then you will also not do it. But you say, no, whatever it is, it's a broken down home, but I'm going to do it. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, by His Mashiach, They will do it. The only good thing I see in this place is Bimashiyatillahi Ta'ala. You're coming to Dubai, Bimashiyatillahi Ta'ala. It's the only thing, only good thing I found in the plane. Nothing else. Everything else is all haram. Right? But this is the only thing was that Bimashiyatillahi Ta'ala, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, we're landing here. Right? So it's the only good thing I see in the plane. Anything else, I can't see anything good, nothing that is plaudible and nothing you can speak highly about. So that's the first thing that you do, Ta'lim. Right? The second thing is now, after you're motivated, then you need a direction. You read your namaz on time. So now you need to know the times. One is the fazail. Right? The fazail is you read your namaz on time. But now you need to know the time. Now you'll need to have a kitab that will show you how to work out times, etc. So that will be like best is ever Talimul Islam, Dawatul Talimul Haq or something like that. That will give you direction. So this is how you do it. So you need motivation, then you need direction. So now you being positive, Allah Pak likes this. Yuhibbu ul azm. Allah Pak likes his people. People of determination. I must do it, finish. I have to do it. I can't just sit down late, be laid back. I can't be. That's a recipe for depression. I can't be. A Muslim is not a depressed person. He's an active person. He's proactive. He will do things and make things happen. If others are not doing it, let me do it. Maybe my approach is not right with them. Why they aren't doing it? Because my approach is not right. How can I fix my approach? So I'm trying to work out, all right? Maybe I was too harsh. Maybe I was too direct. Maybe I was forcing myself over the next person. But let me see, how can I adjust myself? Because we all need to do it. We all need to see this whole town is namaz. So that if I can't work it out in one way, I can work it out in a different way. If I can't go out and gush, but some other way I can work. Is my friend or someone over the phone, I can talk to him. Or I'll call him to the home, give him a cup of tea and speak to him about namaz or something. Or his wife is not in parda, and I can talk to him in a more respectable, dignified way. Can I do these things? They're doing it in one way. That's a better way how they're doing it. But if you can't, then it doesn't mean you can't do it at all. Do it in your own way at least, some way. But be encouraging. Okay? When you're going to be encouraging, it's your personal defense. It's your protection because you're encouraging others. So now at least you will be fortified. You will be secure. So you're doing it and you're encouraging a little bit. To the extent that you can do it, your friends, as more time I should say, dosti karo, lekin dosti hakku ada karo. You be friendly, but fulfill the right of friendship. So fulfill the right. Now you can speak to the person. It's your brother, it's your cousin, it's your friend. How to get him around? How to speak to him? How to make him also come onto the same line? So that's the second thing that we need to do. See, I'm showing off how to be positive, how to be determined, how to be a people of resolve. Right? There's a way where there is a will, there is a way. Not a way, it's a freeway, highway it is. But you put up your will, put your resolve on. And an Indian, you don't have to teach all these things here. An Indian, you put him in the middle of the Sahara and he'll open up a shop there. Right? He'll work a plan, isn't it? He had a plan. How must I get that thing sold? Something, how to advertise it. Maybe I put it in the wrong angle. I put it this way, I put it that way. Maybe I packaged it wrong. Maybe the price was out, you know. So he'll work a plan. That's an Indian. He'll do something to sell that product. However he needs to sell it, he must sell that thing. But he will do it. So that's resolve. Allah Pak likes that resolve. You applied your resolve in business, it worked. So you put your resolve in deen, won't it work? Right? You put your resolve in business, it worked. So the same resolve, the same ingredient, if you put into deen, won't it work? So that is the second thing. There won't be a nation of crime. No, this person is doing this, this person is disturbing me. By leave that, by he is not going to stop his ways. But why must you stop your way? You carry on, continue. So that's the second thing we all need to do in our homes. So this is what I'm saying, resolve. And then we do it every day. Now our South African life is a little bit different. They'll be too mobile, right? We must go visiting, Parwa, huh? Everywhere. Let's go Vagasha, this place, that place. So you keep those kitabs in your home, in your car as well. Keep those kitabs in your home, in your car. Musalla, keep it in your car. Someone was telling me the traffic and all that. I can't get my. But what you do? Keep couple of bottles of water in the car. So if it's namaz time and you read your namaz, you can just take the pull out of the water, side of the road, go read your namaz there. Who stops you? Nobody's stopping you. Nobody's stopping you. Police also won't catch you for that. So you just take up some water. No, I need to wear kurta for a Juma, but my office duties require something else. But I keep on kurta, two sets of kurta in the car. Leave it permanently. Namaz time you put on the kurta, you call on for Juma. How nice, I said, look. But you put on the resolve. I said, no, I must remain a nation of crybabies. And I can't put the kurta because of my work requirement. So you remain a crybaby then. Then don't do anything then. So where you look out, then you'll find a way. There's an exit. There is a way out. So that's the second thing. The third is, we have to have zikr in the home. I mean, the zikr is the only command that Allah Pak doesn't put any restriction to it. With time and place, no restriction. Do it in abundance. Right? So we do it in abundance, zikr. And when we're in the home now, we do it a little bit loudly. Any dua that is supposed to be read in the home, we're doing it loudly, right? Coming into the home, the dua, whatever is supposed to be read loudly, right? We're eating now, and then we recite the dua loudly. Going into the toilet, reading it loudly, right? Changing clothes, reading it loudly, right? So there's other people in the house, but they're also getting to listen to these duas, right? Or, for example, it's the evening dua, we're reading it loudly. It's a morning dua, we're reading it loudly, right? Right. So we are going as a guest, then we are reading a dua, right? For the host, whoever, right? So whatever that appropriate dua, whatever dua, but read it a little bit loudly. Now and then with the translation, so that the children that are growing up, they also understand what they are talking all about. So the appropriate duas that are supposed to be read in the morning or the evening at any time, read it a little bit orderly, audibly, that you are the man of the house. When you're the man of the house, then you need to teach everybody else. What's the point of you going to Jannat yourself and all children are toasting and roasting in Jahannam? Is there any point in that? You want to go take them as well. See? After all, when you're going for Vagasha and visit, you take them as well. Going for holiday, you don't feel good without taking them. So when they need to go, then you play your part. That I need to do this. Let me do it a little bit audibly, they will listen. They will listen, they will also say these words. I'm going to sleep now, the sleeping duas. So, that's the third thing. Then the fourth thing is then you make dua with them. In the time of fitna, you're making dua. And when a person makes dua and the second person says Ameen, then the duas get answered. You making dua, and there's masoom children, you got small children, all Tikanis, eh? So they say Ameen. How great Allah Ta'ala will feel. The small children making Ameen. Won't Allah Ta'ala accept those duas? Small little children, they're making Ameen. And how will Allah Ta'ala not accept their duas? So that's the fourth thing. Then the fifth thing is, then you see, we leading one life, then the children are going and doing their work. Someone is going to school, someone is going to madrasa, someone has got his friend, whatever. So we ask them for the day what they did. Right? And we give them a direction. Every day we're giving them a direction. What happened for the day? Remember, don't come onto the side of your child or your wife. You know, if this is an argument or something, or the argument or fight, now don't become on their side. Show them how to avoid the problem. But now you become on the defense now. You come on the defense, and what happens to the child? The child gets spoiled. Because he feels, no, anybody tramps my feet, my father is around here. So he will tramp other people's feet, and he will not be careful. He will not be careful about hurting others. He will not be careful about that. And this way, you're showing how to avoid problems. So he'll be strong. He'll be bold, and understand how not to get into problems, how not to get himself implicated. So you're showing small little mashwara, what happened for the day. You're giving them some guidance, some story or whatever happened, and you think of one nice little story and giving it to them. What is going to be motivating, what is going to be educational to them? You heard them out, what they were doing for the day. So at least he knows that he can say his things for that day. Whatever happened, or how much sabak you took, what the ustad say today, or you went to school, what did they say in the school, or you had any experience with any student. See? So the whole events for the day, you're getting it rounded up. If there's anything wrong, the child is bringing it to the attention of the father, right? The father is correcting him. And otherwise, if you're not doing this mashwara, you're not doing this little bit of discussion with your children, what's going to happen? Then there's going to be an accumulation of wrongs. Imagine the child, now the whole year you didn't discuss with him. And all the time he was looking at the phone. Now he was stuck up. He was glued up. Now you're trying to pull him out. Is it going to be easy? It's going to be very, very difficult. But every day, right, you're talking, even at the ages, 3 years, 4 years, but you talk to them, take out that half an hour quality time, not kachra time. Not kachra time, you're exhausted now, you don't want to see any children, you just want to see the bed. Not like that. And half an hour, quality time, but go and spend it with the children. The Quran Sharif, once, on the one side is saying, Balligh. Right. And the other side is saying, Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum, save yourselves and your household as well. So it has to be balanced. If you want to be talking to others, then what about your own household? You're talking about sunnah, and your wife is wearing tights and jeans. Is that a balance? I ask you, is there a balance? You're talking about working on the sunnah, and then look in your own house, tights and jeans is wearing. So is there a balance in that? There's no balance in that. The problem is that you didn't work in the home. Now you say, no, my wife is doing all this. But did you work in the home? In the beginning, you should have understood, kullukum mas'ulun. All, everyone is responsible. When everybody is responsible, what's my responsibility? If you could understand, you would have found what's my responsibility. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So next we will discuss some of the adab pertaining to clothing and dressing. That firstly is, Muslims, we should not feel ashamed to expose our identity by wearing Islamic clothing, by wearing a topi, kurta or turban, etc., whether in private or in public. Then the clothing that we are wearing should not be tight-fitting, whether it's a male or female, but rather it should be loose. Then it should be such that it shouldn't be transparent, that where the person's private areas would be exposed. A male's private area is from the navel till below the knee, and for a female, her entire body, just besides her palms, and at the time when she's going out of the home, then she also has to conceal her face as well. Then the best clothing that a person can wear is that which is generally worn by the friends and the pious people, and that is in this zamana the kurta that we normally wear. And the clothing to be worn by males should not flow below the ankles, but it should be above the ankles. And for women, it should be below the ankles, everything should be concealed. And those who are affiliated to deen, then almost everything that they wear should not have any resemblance with any to those that are sinners, meaning whether it is their clothing, their pants, etc. For example, if a person has some affiliation with deen, then it will be totally undesirable for such a person to wear kurta and a bermuda or a short pants under. Rather, he should wear a kurta or a lungi, a pants or a lungi under his kurta. Then it is best to wear clothing that is white in color, and a person on the day of Jummah should try to wear his best clothing. Then if a person has the means, then he should not wear torn and tattered clothing, but rather he should wear clothing that is presentable, not necessarily that it has to be smart, but clothing that is presentable, and that people will not look with disdain and disgrace at him. And then a person's clothing should not be worn due to fashion, that because certain class of people are wearing this, that is why I should wear it, but rather a person should look at what is the sunnat way and the way of the pious. Then when a person is wearing clothing, then the clothing should not have huge logos on them, as if this person is advertising for that clothing company, etc. And also if their clothing has some emblem on it, then it shouldn't have any type of kufr connotation. For example, you shouldn't have a picture of a devil or the night tick, which is a connotation of a Greek goddess, etc. Rather, it should be free from all these types of things. Then at the time of wearing the clothes, then one should wear the clothes from the right side. If a person is putting on a sleeve, then it should be from the right side. Putting on his trouser, then the right leg should be put on first. And then removing the clothing, then it should be removed from the left side. And likewise with shoes, etc. Then when putting on clothing, then one would recite the dua, Alhamdulillah alladhi kasani hadha wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wala quwwa. And when removing clothing, then the dua to be recited is Bismillah alladhi la ilaha illahu. Then when a person is undressing himself, then he should not totally undress himself being naked. But rather, if for example he's got his kurta and his trouser or lungi, then he should first remove his trouser and put on the pants, and thereafter he could take off his kurta and upper garments and then put them on. A person shouldn't remain naked for unnecessarily. Then if a person sees any dirt on his clothing and he finds a need to change it, then a person should change it, and a person should put on a clean pair of clothing. And after a person has taken off his clothing, then one shouldn't make it the duty of other people in the home to put it in the washing, but rather a person himself should put it away. Or if a person is going to use the clothing again, then it shouldn't just be dumped onto one side, but rather one should fold it and keep it on one side, or hang it and place it on some high place. Then when it comes to the clothing as well, then one shouldn't wear clothing that resembles the opposite gender. That is, males shouldn't wear clothing that resembles the clothing of females, and vice versa. And also the colors that females normally wear, that males shouldn't wear. For example, the color pink, etc. And also it is undesirable for a male to wear bright colors, for example, like red, bright red or orange or yellow, etc. Then when it comes to clothing as well, then sometimes there is a trend, for example, like short sleeve kurtas. So a person should try to stay away from this, especially when coming out in public areas. Rather, a person should wear clothing that will cover his entire body. And then also when it comes to one's appearance and the hair that's on a person's body, then for example when it is the moustache, then one should trim it once it reaches the length where it begins to overlap a lip, your lip. Once it reaches that length, and to allow it to grow more than that would be makruh. And when trimming the moustache, one should trim it to such an extent that as if it has been shaved off, that is, as if the skin beneath can be seen. Then the dhari, the beard should be lengthened, and only after a first length should it be trimmed, and it is haram and impermissible to trim it before a first length. Then the nails, a person should trim and clip his nails if once it has grown long, and the removal of the hair should also be done for the armpits as well. The hair is growing in the armpit area, that should also be shaved and removed. And it is preferable that the hair should be removed once a week, or if that is not possible for every week, then every fortnight. But one should not allow it to remain on his body for more than 40 days.